Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one blessed page of Talmud each day. On this podcast, as you know, we read the Talmud non-stop. But some days, we take the opportunity to veer a little, just for one day, from the intense study of Gemara to point out other Jewish ideas, people, and publications worth paying close attention to. And today, hallelujah, is one of those days. Not long ago, Menachem Butler, associate editor at Tablet Magazine and one of the most erudite people on all things Jewish, published a book that would bring many of us comfort right now. It's called Praying for the Defenders of Our Destiny, and it explores the Mishaberach prayer for IDF soldiers, the prayer that blesses those who risk their lives for the state of Israel. It is, as it turns out, a very short prayer with a very long and very fascinating history, and Butler and his co-editor Aviad the Kohen collected essays from, well, everyone from noted Soviet refusenik Yosef Begun to Israel's president, Yitzhak Herzog, meditating on what the prayer still means and what we feel and think and yearn for when we pray for our defenders to succeed. Welcome to the show, Menachem Butler.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's so great to talk to you. As always, you are my friend, your Tablet's sort of librarian slash major guide to all things Jewish and scholarly, but you're also the editor now with Aviad the Kohen of an amazing new book called Praying for the Defenders of Our Destiny, the Mishaberach for IDF Soldiers. Before I ask you to say anything else about the book, I want you to very briefly explain to us, what's the Mishaberach prayer?
The Mishaberach prayer is a traditional Jewish prayer for healing. It takes many forms in different contexts. It's a prayer for healing. It's recited in synagogues. It's recited not in synagogues. It's a personalized prayer where people can reflect on something in particular, whether physical, emotional, that they're looking for healing for. And depending on the text of the prayer, it often can include the name of the individual for whom the prayer is being recited, the name of their parents, etc. That's the traditional, original version of a Mishaberach prayer.
So if you asked me if this prayer and its application to Israel soldiers currently fighting the war was enough to fill about 500 pages of reflections, I would have sort of looked at you askance. But here you are, and you collected a truly fascinating book with a whole host of writers from, you know, Refusnik Yosef Begun to some of the really smartest thinkers in Israel right now, each offering their own reflection on the Mishaberach and how it applies to IDF soldiers. So without asking you to give it all away, give us a little taste of the rich breadth of opinions and ideas in this collection.
All right. So the story actually goes back to 1947, 1948, during the war with the establishment of the State of Israel. And the chief rabbis of Mandatory Palestine at the time, Chief Rabbi Isaac Herzog and his Sephardic counterpart, composed the prayer for the soldiers who were fighting in defense of the establishment of the State of Israel. At the conclusion of the fighting, the special prayer for their safety, security, for their return home, the special prayer stopped to be recited. Fast forward a little under a decade later, after the 1956 war, the chief rabbi of the Israeli Defense Forces at the time was Chief Rabbi Rabbi Shlomo Gorin. And Rabbi Gorin, who is himself a fascinating, eclectic, brilliant, controversial rabbi, he took upon himself the responsibility of caring for the spiritual and religious needs of the Israeli soldiers, of the soldiers under his guidance, under his auspices. And in addition to ensuring that there would be kosher food available, prayer services available on the ground for the soldiers, he said, wait a second, why don't I look towards the liturgy and compose a prayer for the spiritual well-being for the soldiers, not just in time of war, but as we see the State of Israel as an army that fights battles not only during major war times, but that at all times we should be praying for the soldiers. And as a result, and he felt that this was under his jurisdiction as the chief rabbi of the military to have this prayer composed. And as a result, individuals within his office, together with him, crafted this prayer for the soldiers. and using traditional language, Mish Berach Abatenu Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, may he who bless our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, bless those who serve in the Israel Defense Forces, who stand guard over our land and the cities of our God, from the Lebanese border to the Egyptian desert, from the Mediterranean Sea to the approach of the Arava, and wherever they are, on land, in the air, and at sea. May the Lord cause our enemies who rise against us to be struck down before them. May the Holy One, blessed be He, protect and deliver our soldiers from all trouble and distress, injury and illness, and bring blessing and success upon all that they do. May those who hate us be vanquished before them, and may He, may God, crown them, the soldiers, with deliverance and the laurels of victory. Through them, may there go be the fulfillment of the verse, that it's the Lord your God who is with you, who fights with you, against your enemies to deliver you, and let us say amen.
Amen.
And this is an English translation. The original obviously was in Hebrew. And for many decades, this prayer, Mishberach, was recited amongst members of the Israeli armed forces, their family members in synagogues who had children, sons and daughters who fought in the Israeli army. And they tended to be more of a religious Zionist congregation that would recite it. And this was an official prayer of the chief rabbinate of the military. And then something happened in Israeli society, really more in more international society, and that was the movie Operation Thunderbolt. Liel, you're familiar with it?
It's very hard not to be familiar with it. The rescue in Entebbe, in case you've been living under a rock for the last 40-odd years.
The rescue in Entebbe has a song, El Eretz Tzvi, that was composed. And Leah, when I say those words to you as an Israeli, what do you feel? What just shivered down your spine?
I hear Yoram Gahon's voice in my head already.
Yoram Gahon, who was the actor who played Yoni Netanyahu, who also composed the song for the movie. And the song as it was composed is a military march of sorts, and it took on a sort of universal, and when I say universal, I mean not just religious significance within Israeli society, as well as in the international Jewish community as well. And there were many people in America who this was among their first Israeli military marches, songs, which became part of the global Jewish consciousness. And the song El Eretz Tzvi is, in a sense, about justifying why the Israeli army went all the way to Entebbe to bring home the Israeli Jews who were taken hostage. And it's Eretz Tzvi, to bring them to the land of the Tzvi, of the deer. And that song has its own resonances with people. Within the past two decades, the tune of El Eretz Tzvi has morphed with the prayer for the Mishaberach, prayer for the Israeli soldiers, in a new fusion, in a way that is different than the original Mishaberach prayer. But now when the song gets sung and the tune that's used for these words, there's now this new entity that has emerged.
So pop culture meets traditional liturgy meets history in the making. I love it.
Yes, yes. And so on October 7th, I was in synagogue when we heard the news. And a few minutes later, the Mishaberach prayer was recited. It wasn't just recited, it was sang, it was cried, it was just this feeling of hopelessness. Here we are in America, just trying to for our prayers and thinking of the soldiers. And then as we began to hear the details, the hostages, and just the whole Israeli society. And after Simchat Torah, as I often do in wanting to learn more about a topic, started looking around to see, well, what's the scholarly research writing about this prayer? Where are the books that have been written about the origins of this prayer? Now, there must have been academic conferences all about this prayer. And I looked around, and this is thanks to my co-editor, Professor Aviad Cohen. I was WhatsApping with him a few days after. I said, Aviad, where's the best scholarly writing? And he said, oh, there's this article, there's that article, one or two of them I had seen. And I realized there had been nothing in English. written about this prayer, even to the point that in the various Orthodox, centrist Orthodox prayer books that have been published over the past 30 years, which do include the text of this prayer for these communities, see the establishment of the State of Israel and the defense of the Israeli army as religiously significant, not just politically significant, that could be its own conversation. There is nothing more than a brief footnote to say this prayer.
And so, Menachem, I usually, as you know, considered scholarly as just about the dirtiest word one could utter. But in this case, you have delivered a truly fascinating book with so many reflections that really, you know, address history, liturgy, politics, religion, society, culture. It's a very, very good read, even for people who don't necessarily usually find themselves craving more academic extrapolation. But before I let you go, I want to ask you, the foreword to this book is written by kind of a celebrity, no?
Yeah, Israeli President Isaac Herzog.
Oh.
He delivered remarks from Jerusalem, from the Western Wall in Jerusalem, to the rally in Washington, where hundreds of thousands gathered in support of Israel and soldiers towards the start of the war. And when we were putting the book together, we were thinking, you know, who, Aviad and I were thinking, who would be an appropriate person whose message reflecting the feelings of Israel, in a sense, can be seen to the Torah from Zion, the Torah shall come forth from Jerusalem to the world. And we felt a message from the president of the State of Israel, the grandson of the first chief rabbi of the State of Israel, who his grandfather had composed an earlier version of a prayer for the IDF soldiers. We just felt all this together, whether a person is interested in reading an article from a chief rabbi of Israel or from a feminist Israeli Talmud professor to a, as you mentioned before, Soviet refusnik, to Simcha Golden, the father of Hadar Golden, to individuals who have children serving now, to individuals who are themselves serving in the Israeli army during the current war, who were able to take a few minutes and share their reflections on what this prayer means to them in Israel now and what they would want their brothers and sisters, their friends, their cousins all around the world to know about this prayer and to, and in a sense, to go down the rabbit hole and to just learn different aspects of the history.
That's amazing. And because prayers mean so much to us, especially now, I want to ask you, Menachem, to lead us off. You already gave us a beautiful English translation, but I want to ask you to take a moment. It will do all of us a lot of good if you could just recite the Misha Berach prayer for the IDF soldiers in Hebrew.
Misha Berach Avoteinu Abraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Chuy Varechet Chayelei Tzva Hagana L'Yisrael, V'Anshei Kochot HaBitachon, Ha'omdim Al Meshmar Artzenu V'Ara Eloheinu, Migvul Havanon V'Ad Midbar Mitzrayim, Min Hayam HaGadol Ad Lavo Ha'arava, V'Chol Makom Shehem, V'Yabashar Ba'Avir U'Vayam. Yitein Adonai Atoy V'Enu Akamim Meleinu Negafim Lefneham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmar V'Yatzil Et Chayelinu Mikol Tzara V'Tzuka U'Mikol Nega U'Machala Yishlach B'cha V'Hatzlacha B'chol Ma'aseh Yedehem Yadber Soneinu Tachteihem V'Yatrem B'Keter Yeshua U'Vatered Mitachon V'Kuyam Bahem HaKatuv Ki Adonai Eloheichem HaHolech Imachem V'Hilachem Lachem Im Oyevichem L'Hoshia Etchem V'Nomar Amen.
Amen. Menachem Butler, thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you very much.
This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life, Surprisingly Modern Advice from a Very Old Book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butting, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.